Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 160, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday, November 19th, 2020, 62 days until January 20th. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Vaccine. Dolly Parton will save us all from COVID-19. That is courtesy of Big Wolf, Hot Dangs, at Hot Dangs on Twitter. And I'm thrilled to be joined by my special guest, co-host Jamie Loftus!
A.K.A. Jamie Floatus? It's an anagram. It works.
Yeah.
I have no interest in the position, and I think it's weird. Jamie Floatus, someone pointed out to me.
All the Otis things are so weird. The POTUS, FLOTUS, SCOTUS.
Yeah, grow up.
Yeah, grow up, you fucking dorks.
Yeah.
But
Olive Garden, we have an Olive Garden as our FLOTUS now, so that is amazing.
We have an Olive Garden as our FLOTUS?
There was like this huge, there was that huge celebration when Jill Biden was like, they're like, wow, it's our first Italian FLOTUS. And everyone's like, wow, like the Olive Garden lobby finally got what they fucking wanted.
You happy now? When you're here, you're family with the president. I don't know. All right, and we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the brilliant, the talented Joelle Smith!
Hey, y'all, what's up?
Hey. Hi.
What's up?
Oh, man, I'm awake. I'm at my computer. The gears are still turning up here in my brain. So I'm going to count it as a win. My therapist told me that I have to count all of my little wins. And I was like, it's really hard. Nothing feels like victory. And she was like, there are victories in there. So I'm trying to take Dr. Sylvia's advice and find the little victories. So
Hell yeah. We're here
making it work.
is anybody else like super tired lately? Couple weeks? Like I've been, you know, tired from just quarantine and being ambient depression, but like I feel like the past couple weeks have been super duper. I've been like exhausted and having a hard time getting the old wheels turning.
Yeah, I feel like my brain starts later and stops earlier. I've seen a lot of like tweets to this effect and it's kind of comforting, but just like around 6 o'clock every day, everyone's like, wow, time to start winding down. And then they realize it's 6 o'clock.
I was definitely in bed by 8 last night and I was like, well, I'm a grandma now. That's it. And I'm fine with this transition.
Yeah. It's almost like a throwback to early quarantine, it feels like, where it's like you're either in bed by 8 or you're up until 4.
Right. Right. We are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, Joelle. First, we're going to tell our listeners just a couple of the things we're talking about. We're starting to get some views into what the vaccine rollout plan is going to look like. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about where we're at with the Trump administration, the Trump enablers still claiming fraud, and what happened in Michigan a couple of days ago. We'll talk about Trump terminating yet another major member of his cabinet. He likes calling it terminating now. We will talk Ben Shapiro. We will talk the rise of ambient TV. All of that, plenty more.
I was dreading as I was scrolling through the doc. I'm like, please say that Ben Shapiro's name is not going to crop up on the doc.
It's weird because we like held off on it for a long time. It's no longer topical, but I do feel like we really missed out on an opportunity to.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be done. It's, you know, we all had to take that L and let that name escape our lips every so often. But my God.
The man expert, the man we go to hear about what it is to be a man. Joelle, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
This is so embarrassing. I was talking to the lovely Daniel before we got on. I have been researching a lot of Pokemon lately. Your combinations. How do they work? This is my stress reliever now. I got a Nintendo for myself. My brother bought Pokemon. And immediately I was like, oh, this is what I'm going to do for my stress relief. There's no geopolitical analytics in here. I don't have to worry about race relations in this app. No one's making podcasts in here. It's just, you just catch a Pokemon and you fight another Pokemon and then you buy a cool outfit. And it's like the best fake retail therapy because I can't afford to do actual retail therapy anymore. Right. You know, Pokemon, that's what's happening.
Oh in my God. World. That's incredible news.
We're surviving. Yay.
So wait, what are the top Pokemon? I'm like, Jamie's we're like, how do Pokemon, I get into let's this? Power
I'm glad
them.
You asked the first follow-up question because I was going to equally be like, so, I mean.
So, tell us about these Pokemon.
Tell us more about
Listen, for the children out there, slash older adults who never got out of their child favorites, I'm really boosting up my Machamp. He's a fighter. He's he's got big boxing gloves. He's ready to go. A Slurpuff, which looks like whipped cream, is really, I like it because depending on what kind of fruit you give it, it turns into different Pokemon. So you get a variety of the same thing. And then I can't remember the name of my elephant, but I got it and it's cool and I love it.
Oh, nice. And this is on Switch?
Yes. Yeah, which, again, is just, it's amazing stress relief. It's really great when it's late and you're falling asleep. You pop it in and you get to bike all over little countrysides that look like London. It's wonderful.
That's heaven. Yeah. I read recently about, there was like a big, I'm like YouTubers I watched discussed it at length. But there was like a big Pokemon scandal where, bear with me, I guess Logan Paul.
Performance enhancing drugs.
Paul, he's not the villain of the story, shockingly. Ugh. Logan Paul has a Pokemon dealer, which is a job you can have. And this Pokemon dealer dealt like arranged this big Pokemon deal, and then these guys paid $200,000 for a set of Pokemon cards, and then it turned out the Pokemon cards were fake. And now there's all these. It was a Pokemon fraud scandal, and I really loved watching it unfold because it was a bunch of doofuses with too much money being like, well, the cards are about to get here. And they were like live streaming it. They're like, the most expensive Pokemon deal ever. And they open the cards and they're like, well, these are clearly fraudulent.
They're like made of, of just like regular paper stock that you would get from Staples.
Yeah, it was just a pile of printer paper.
Yeah.
I just like to say that the game is $30 right now. It's on sale. You don't have to pay $200,000 for anything. There are no in-app purchases, to the best of my knowledge. Just go ahead and save your money. You know, invest that in something worthwhile. Give it to a child in need. Please don't spend that kind of money on paper. It doesn't make sense.
It simply doesn't. Don't do anything that Logan Paul has already done. That's, I thought that's been a rule of thumb for years.
Generally, good idea.
A perfect guideline.
I do wonder, like, for sports cards and Pokemon cards and, like, physical things like that, I do feel like we're reaching a point where, I mean, we can make any video, make people seem like they're saying things that they haven't said, like, with perfect precision. And, like, you know, sneakers, like that. One of the ways that people are getting quote counterfeit sneakers is like the people who make those in other countries are just like, here, I'm going to make a couple more, and they won't go through Nike, but you will get the exact same thing. And those are like counterfeit, but it's like, what? I don't know. I feel like the philosophical question of like what counterfeit is going to arise more and more, especially with regard to Pokemon cards. That seems like a pretty easy one to knock off, but maybe I'm missing something.
I understand the collectible. You're definitely not missing anything. The collectible aspect of it is what's keeping people going. And like, it's the belief that's like keeping people connected, right? Like, no, mine is real. Like, so it depends on how you value, you know, I guess the subject of the thing. Cause like with baseball cards was like, oh, that was like a moment in history. Like they printed it while this guy was in run, you know, and now that's where he retired. So there are no new base. So if you really like that player, then you have to have that card. That I somewhat understand that. I don't quite understand, like, to your point, like, especially with the use of a Pokemon card is like in a game. So as long as you have the correct information in front of you, you can play the game. So it's bizarre. But, you know, I also know people spend like a ton of money on like rare Monopoly sets. And I don't know. I think when you have too much money, you're just looking for something to brag about. And you're like, I bought this like incredible rare thing, and now you have to value me and my collection as well. It's a weird cyclical thing.
Like we were talking before we started recording about the Dunkies Market, the Dunkin' Donuts shop that they just opened that has tandem bicycles. It has a Dunkin' Donuts bathrobe. Like,
I mean, that's a practical
purchase. And it's immediately sold out. Like everybody just bought all of the Dunkin' Donuts bathrobes.
That's more, like, I mean, I
couldn't you
not
like
to,
just
not to jump to their defense. As I always will for Dunkin' Donuts. I feel like their marketing, it's going to sound like I'm being paid to say this. I'm not. I think their marketing has gotten so weird and savvy recently where they're like, okay, we're an old ass like donut brand that is mostly known for like really mean moms going to there a lot. Like that is their consumer base. But then they're just kind of like, they're definitely trying to hit the teen market because they gave Charli D'Amelio her own Dunkin' beverage.
Yeah.
And as a regular Dunkin' customer, I'm a very mean mom. But like there's now teenagers at Dunkin' Donuts all the time. It's like you can tell Charli D'Amelio brought her fucking TikTok base to Dunkin' Donuts. And now they're releasing merch like it's sneaker drops. Like it's just, they're trying some stuff out. It seems to be working. Also, the Charli D'Amelio drink has so much dairy in it that I like was shitting for days. It's for young people.
it's for the youngs.
It's for teenagers only. Yeah. It's not for adults.
That's so interesting that Dunkin' Donut, it seems almost random that Dunkin' Donuts is the brand that like got this culture. Like McDonald's tried really hard with their like Travis Scott meal and Jay Blatt.
Did that work?
Meal. I don't know.
It definitely did. Sold out in a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. The children loved it. And I live across the street from a McDonald's. There was a line around the block for like probably a solid week to get into McDonald's to get the stupid meal, which is already on the menu.
I'm so confused. Wait, that
is
worked?
It for the box?
It definitely worked.
Like, how would you sell out of the meal? Because is there a meal? Like, is there a box that comes with it?
Okay, so the Travis thing came in two parts, right? So first there was online merch, right? So they had the jackets and stuff. So all of that stuff sold out. But then McDonald's had a shortage of like the burger. I think it was some of the condiments that go on his specific burger. They were like running out. They couldn't keep it in stock because so many people had come through to purchase this burger. I didn't get the meal, but I do think it came in its own like Cactus Jack style box. But don't keep that. It had food in it. Gross.
Right. Like your house is just going to smell like a cheeseburger for the rest of your life. Yeah.
This is mint condition Travis Scott meal, guys.
You're like
untouched by human hands. And it
smells
like shit. My
favorite product they had was a Cactus Jack McDonald's lunch tray. So, you know, the brown trays that you have at McDonald's. Yeah. It's that was Cactus Jack. You can buy it for like $15. And I was like, this is tempting, but no.
Right.
You can also steal it for no bucks because those things are the easiest things to steal.
These kinds of grifts are not going to work forever, but they're definitely working right now.
Yeah. People have nothing to look forward to. I think, honestly, that was like half of the sell. It was like, something new? Yeah, I have to have it. It's just new.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's just interesting that we are, it's almost like we're going in two opposite or seemingly contradictory directions, whereas one, like, consumerism or like materialism is breaking down. Like, you can replicate anything easily. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, we're like going super hard on like, okay, there are only 5 McDonald's bathrobes that we all need to get because it has the special tag in it. And it's almost like we're having a end of materialism, like panic moment where we have to like really dig in our heels and be like, this matters.
As somebody who just bought 2 suits from Beyonce,
I was like, listen,
where will I wear these suits? I'm not going anywhere, literally anywhere, not to dinner, not to a movie, but I have these suits.
Yeah.
I'll come clean. I bought the Duncan Duvet.
Awesome.
It'll be on my bed come Christmas.
Cozy.
Very cool. What is something you think is overrated, Joelle?
Overrated. It's hard to say what is overrated right now because everything that I like, if I do go outside, I'm like, my God, the sky is blue today. Like, I think I want to say the news, but that's really vital. And I don't want to be the kind of person that shits on journalists. You know what? I got it. The PlayStation 5 is overrated. Here's why. I can't get my hands on one. And so I choose to believe it's underrated so that I don't have FOMO.
Right.
Hell yeah. It's too. Here's my review. Looks too big. Why is it so big?
Definitely too large to fit on anybody's normal shelf. But it also is 4K and it's going to have Cyberpunk 77 on it, which is a game I've been looking forward to since 2018. And we were supposed to have in April and then again in August, I think. And then they had a November launch date, but they pushed it back again to December. Mm-hmm. The way I covet this machine, it's embarrassing. overrated. I don't need it.
Fuck it.
Definitely.
Every time I see a new gaming console, I don't know. I'm not a gamer, but I just flash forward to like thinking 5 to 7 years in the future when it's just going to be on all of my friends' mantles, like howling at like the way that PS4s are right now, where you walk into your house, you're like, oh, do you have a PS4? Because something's burning and I can't hear anything.
Like, oh, shit. How are people dealing with the height? Are people just treating it like a piece of furniture that you just like have on the floor next to your TV? Or
I've seen images of people just shoving it on the shelf, which is funny. So now their shelf is sort of like tilted and lopsided and it's half hanging off. Some people have, you know, industrious people who don't let the pandemic get them down have built personalized shelves that like sit next to their floating TV so it looks nice or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll probably just put it on the floor. Yeah. It's right there. It's fine.
It kind of looks like an air purifier.
Yeah, it does.
Like a nice air purifier. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like the biggest Wi-Fi extender in the history or Wi-Fi router of all time.
It's sleek.
So sleek. For an obelisk. What is something you think is underrated?
Oh my God. Getting gifts and wrapping gifts and thinking about gifts and choosing the right wrapping paper. I have submitted to the Christmas season. This is the first year in my entire adult life when I'm like, I can actually get gifts for people I love. Like real, not cheap. You know, we're not talking Starbucks gift cards for the homies. Like real stuff I put thought into. But then also my pod of people that I've been hanging out with during this time have decided to go like full Christmas. So we're doing like a 7-course meal from the French Laundry. We're going to cook it ourselves.
Is your pod Gavin Newsom?
How dare you? How dare you? No, they just really like to cook. They were the people that were doing bread at the top. They, the things they've done during quarantine are they got like the wine thing. It's like, I don't know what you call it, but it's like, so you don't have to open your bottle of wine. It's like got a long needle that goes into the cork so that you don't ever have to aerify it. Like it never reaches air. So you can like pour a glass and then you put it back in your fridge, but the wine stays corked. It's still fresh. It's a really thin, long needle that goes inside. Yeah, it's amazing. We got...
I thought you were describing a corkscrew. No, I know all about those, Joelle. Yeah.
You say the word really slowly. You're like, corkscrew.
What you're describing, Joelle, is a corkscrew. It's a long, narrow, screwy thing that is used to open bottles of wine. I'm an idiot. Sorry.
No, it's good. So, like, typically for Christmas, we do, like, you know, a giant roast and blah. And they're usually big, like, large events, like 20-plus people. But this year, we're sticking to the 7. We've been hanging out. We, like, know each other. So we're going to do all the different versions from the French Laundry and... big Christmas tree, real Christmas tree. We're going to cut down a tree. And so I got really pretty wrapping paper and I'm going to take photos. It's gifts. I have to focus on the positive. And so this is what I'm doing. It's just like,
that's
really good gifts for my loves. Yeah.
How are you cutting down? Where are you going to cut down the tree?
Yeah.
Oh, they're doing that. And I'm not going outside to touch things or anything like that. It's gross. When they bring it in and clean it up, then I will help make it pretty and decorate it.
Right.
I'll let you know because it does seem like a fun activity if you're an outdoorsy woods person or have children and you're like, here's an experience you won't forget.
I'm trying to. This is my first Christmas in like a living with someone, and so we're like, we need to like get decorations and stuff. And I'm really I'm trying to figure out a way to set like safely, really like. Make it Christmas in our apartment. It's exciting. I don't know how to do it though, because I'm afraid of Costco.
Oh my gosh. Okay. No, don't. I'm horrified of COVID, like very, very scared because I already had like breathing issues and all kinds of stuff. So I'm like, no. So I went to Paper Source. Paper Source has hella wrapping paper, like really cute, like little thingies for your packet. Like I got little wreaths that are just little bells and wreaths, and you just stick them on the package and it's cute. But also they have like these little like string lights with little glass bottles with like little Santas or little lighthouses, and there's snow and scenery. They have all these all tiny cute light up things, and they're bright and they're fun. My favorite, they had a Botox ornament that's just a Botox needle. It's kitschy and fun. I think Paper Source is going to be a good place. The Hallmark store, you can order online. Hallmark, if you want the granny/mom vibe feel to come in, that should be your store.
Sure. I always need a touch of that.
Yeah, you want to feel like your grandma could stop by and say, hey, but also please don't come over to my house, granny. I have bongs everywhere. You're not going to approve.
You guys have a Christmas playlist that you like start putting into rotation around the holiday?
I live with my brothers, and they do not like Christmas. They're very much Grinches about it. They don't want to even...
You got to make those hearts grow 2 sizes.
Listen, I tried to put on Christmas TV shows, like, you know, like the Christmas-themed episodes, and they were like, we don't We don't want it. Christmas music has to go off immediately. So stuff in my headphones. Oh, no. Dolly Parton's Christmas album is pretty great. Yeah. Obviously, Mariah Carey is the standard. Mm-hmm. Any African choir is going to blow the house down. I have many like African choirs worth of old school gospel music. That's pretty great. And I think, doesn't Ariana have a...
Ariana has a good one. Yeah.
She's a whole album or a good song? Or what
whole album, I think. Wow.
I think so. Hold on. Let me look this up. I feel like Ari did do a Christmas.
I grew up listening to this CD that my dad had. It's like a punk Christmas album called The Edge of Christmas. And it's really hard to find out, but it's really good. And it has like Pat Benatar, Kate Bush. I've got it up here. The Ramones, The Waitresses. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's like dad punk Christmas album. And that always makes me feel Christmas. At home. And then my mom was like, Kenny G. Like, welcome to Christmas. It's Kenny G.
That is absolutely my experience too. Full Kenny G.
Christmas sounds like a soprano sax. I don't make the rules.
Yeah. And like Michael Bolton Christmas songs that are like other people's Christmas songs or whatever, but just in Michael Bolton's voice.
I want new Christmas music in my rotation this year, though, especially because I'm starting to celebrate right now. It's like I need to find insert new stuff into the rotation.
Dolly Parton's Holly Jolly Christmas. It's really coming in for me because I like to pretend she's saying have a Holly Dolly Christmas. And then I just imagine I'm at Dollyland, just really getting it in. We're singing songs. I just love Dolly Parton, guys.
She's
the glamour. She's Watch
perfect.
9 to 5. It's the perfect movie. Mm-hmm. Make you feel empowered and capable.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk the dreaded news.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission,
parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And I was going to talk about like vaccine rollout plans, but should we just like review more Dunkin' Donuts shop merch?
It's all sold out. The hoodies looked incredible, but I snoozed and I lost.
Yeah, they do look pretty cool.
Yeah.
Subtle. Very subtle.
Yeah, what I love about the Dunkin merch is that it's subtle. It's
subtle. Nobody knows, you know.
It's like, just set up a recurring donation instead.
So the vaccine rollout plans are starting to be revealed. Apparently phase one could start as early as November 30th. Phase two likely to be January or February. Phase three could be April. And this is how they've broken out the phases. So phase one, A, high-risk healthcare workers and first responders. Phase one, B, high-risk or comorbid conditions, older adults in congregate crowded residences. I think that means like people in old folks' homes.
Right.
Yeah. I thought I was in business there for a second because I'm old and my house is crowded with a bunch of kid shit. So those are the people who are going to get it this year and soon. So that's exciting. I'm pumped for them. Phase two, teachers, critical risk workers, like in essential industries, moderate risk comorbid conditions, homeless shelters, group homes, jails, prisons, other older adults. And as I was reading this, I was also made aware of an article in the Daily Beast that was about like a bunch of, there was a conspiracy spreading around a community in Utah because they noticed that this hospital that was supposedly full of COVID patients, the parking lot was empty, and they were like, aha, we know they're not, there's nobody in there, and didn't.
What?
Yeah, that was all the evidence they needed, and they kept trying to break into this ICU to prove it wasn't full of COVID patients because the parking lots are empty. So I'm just worried we're
got their asses.
Same people who have to go to work, like, just bless you, because the amount of things you have to deal with are like, from grocery store workers who have to deal with people literally yelling in their face without a mask because, like, can you please just help keep our store a safe space as possible, to, you know, the guys that were counting the votes who had to deal with actual death threats, to this kind of stuff. It's bonkers. Like, I'm just trying to survive a pandemic. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine having to do all this going above and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think we might be just too dumb for this whole thing, maybe.
Yeah.
So let's, speaking of too dumb for this whole thing, the president is still claiming fraud on Twitter, that he won Michigan. I feel like a lot of the mainstream media has chosen to just like kind of dismiss and ignore. And
yeah,
like on yeah, what were you going to say?
I don't know. It's like I'm kind of two minds about that. Like, I feel like it is a better use of the media's time to focus on transition team stuff but I mean, is the media going to be critical enough of a transition team? Of course they're not going to be. That's not right. Their thing. But I don't know. It's like I feel like ignoring him is the instinctual, well, finally, great. That makes sense.
Right.
But then I don't know what the whatever potential backlash factor is for having done that. Because in a way that just reinforces Trump's worldview, but I don't care. I don't know.
Yeah. I just feel like there's a lot of counter educating that needs to be done. Like that every time he claims that there's voter fraud, like that is doing incalculable damage to like the people who voted for him and their like faith in the country and the institutions, and that's not going away. And I feel like our answer so far has just been to like kind of throw up our hands and be like, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to, I'm like, I don't have an answer to that. But it's like, I was reading a article about, you know, people heading into the election who are experts on peaceful resistance in like authoritarian coups. And they were just like in America, like preparing American people to resist if the Trump administration like tried to do essentially what it has done. And it's like all the bad things that they were predicting and worried about are happening, but right. We're just kind of like ignoring it and hoping to just sort of power through, or like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's really, I don't know. It's really hard to know like who to trust and whose word to kind of take on these topics, because it's like, I don't know about you guys, but I didn't know very much about coups before 2 months ago. I was not an expert in coups. And like there, it seems like there is still like a fair amount of people who are saying it's a possibility, and then others that are saying like it's not going to happen. We need to just like move forward. I don't know. There was like a fair amount of, I don't know if y'all talked about it on Zeitgeist, but there was like a fair amount of controversy with like a Van Jones talk that was published where he was like, here's how a coup is going to happen. And people who know more about coups were kind of like, no, it isn't. No. But it ends up, I don't know, like it, but even so, it's hard to know whose word to kind of take there, because I'm so coup illiterate.
Yeah, I mean, we have never experienced one, as like, is that like, we can, most of us can turn to our parents and be like, what did you survive, or how would we do this, or whatever.
Sure.
I do feel like the most comforting thing is listening to people who have survived coups, right? Mm-hmm. Because to me, I don't know. I feel like as a normal person, I don't have very much control over what will happen. I can be enraged. I could march. I could donate some time somewhere. But it feels like a power very much above me and beyond me. And so I'm like, well, how, if the worst were to happen, how would I prepare? Like, what's the mindset I need to be in? And it seems like most people were like, oh, yeah, your daily life will not change. You'll be like, oh, there was like some fighting over there. There are some new restrictions on what I can do at work. But for the most part, you're still just trying to survive. Hopefully bread doesn't cost like $5,000, and you just keep it pushing until change happens. And
it's like, inspiring words.
Okay, cool. So, you know, we're just going to try and make the best of it as a citizen. Look out for my neighbors, you know, make sure my parents are okay, and keep going. Trying to worry or figure out all of that is a lot. But I also think, to your point, Jamie, like, nobody truly knows what's going to happen. It seems in the little research I've done that it would not be possible for this guy to do it, but that a lot of what he's doing sets up an opportunity for someone smarter and more prepared to do it in the future. And that's sort of what, it's not the next 2 months that scare me. It's the next like 8 years.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. Just weakening the institutions and like the pillars that our entire democracy rests on are being kind of just weakened to the point of, it seems like it won't take very much. And this article, Erica Chenoweth is the person's name, who's like the expert on peaceful resistance. There wasn't a lot of research on, you know, doing the numbers of how often peaceful resistance works when there's like an authoritarian takeover. And they went in and did the numbers and found that it's like 2 times more effective when the resistors are using peace than if they use violence when they're resisting an authoritarian takeover. And Erica Chenoweth, definitely worth paying attention to. But it does seem like we just don't have the language and the institutions to deal with this. Like, the mainstream media is certainly not equipped to deal with what, like, I feel like Trump's entire, you know, strategy is built on combating the things the mainstream media does, like how they talk about these things. And the mainstream media's response at this point has been to just kind of throw up their hands and be like, well, we're not covering him. We're not talking to him anymore. Yeah. Which, again, like, I don't know if that might be the right thing to do. It just feels like, then we have this thing metastasizing in the dark that we're not paying attention to. And that's scary, I think, from a long-term perspective.
Well, Joel, speaking to your point, I think that, like, it makes, it doesn't feel like a present thing for the next 2 months. But I think that, like, what a lot of us are going to have to do, like, with ourselves and then with our families or whatever our circle is like, you know, not to like be like a don't take your foot off the gas, like we all know that, but stay like actually educate ourselves so that, you know, this time 8 years from now we do understand what might happen and would understand how to actively resist it if something happened, because it makes total sense that the majority of the country would have no idea what to do right now. But it's, you know, it's something that we should educate ourselves in and definitely not completely ignore. I feel like that's the other end of the mainstream media problem, is that, you know, it's great to not be reporting on Trump 24/7. That is like a huge relief. But then on the other end of that, I really don't like the tone of like, and now we're back to normal. And it's right. Like,
that is such bullshit.
It's fucking so frustrating where they're like, the third Obama administration has begun. And you're just like, that's not, no one asked for that. Like, we need to like talk about shit. And yeah, so
there's definitely a brand of liberal that's just like, oh, thank God, everything's good again. Like, he's going to come in and saw. And I think it's exacerbated by the discovery of potentially two vaccines working at 95%. Everyone's like, great, we're going to shoot people up and we're going to get back to work and the economy's going to bounce back. And it's like such a sunny disposition, ignoring sort of everything that happened over the summer and like this whole like emotional upheaval we had. And then to also ignore, like, there were literally people begging us to stop counting votes. Like, that is horrifying. That is the very base of our democracy, is like everyone gets a vote and they were like, nope, stop counting, don't like it. I think, yeah, we're definitely going to have to deal with so much more of these deeper issues, but it's very American of us to be like, well, our big problems are solved and we're just gonna have to come to the middle on everything else.
Right. Yeah. Which is like proven time and time again in almost every administration in our lifetimes to be an ineffective solution that doesn't help. Like, that helps barely anyone. It mostly helps capitalists. And
in fact, harms our most disenfranchised, typically. I mean, it's the same administrations that gave us the three strike rule. It's like, oh, well, come to the middle. You get three times and then we lock you away for life. Like, what the hell? I feel I'm horrified that though we're going to see a lot of those same types of policies coming up again as a way of like, we just want everyone to be at peace as opposed to let's actually resolve some of these issues.
Right.
Yeah.
I also, we didn't talk about this in the vaccine section, but I also kind of, I worry about vaccine rollouts. I know that a lot of people do, but I just worry about, I mean, in the phases being described, I feel like there are not frontline communities being prioritized. There's not like the phase four all others category kind of baffles me, because wouldn't you, I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense to prioritize frontline communities and communities where COVID is most prevalent and where people are most at risk. I hope that phase four gets a little more fucking specific, and phase three as well, where they're just like, all others, because I feel like when we say general all others, that means that
I'm picturing a blimp. They're just dropping the vaccines.
I'm like, are we just like, I don't know, sending those creepy Postmates robots to people's doors, like what with the vaccine? I don't trust any American administration to do this well in a way that prioritizes communities most affected by COVID. And
one of the big stories that happened, just to talk about specifics really quickly and just where we're at with the final days of the Trump administration. So Michigan's date to certify their vote came up yesterday or 2 days ago, and they had two Republican like official canvassers who were refusing to certify what was clearly an okay vote because they were being racist. It was an area of Detroit that had largely voted for Biden, and they were using these like things about matching signatures to just raise questions. And then people were rightly like, this is racist. You're being racist. You're going to go down in history as like having just basically disenfranchised a entire community of people for your own purposes. And they were like, ah, yeah, good point, and reversed course. And then Trump was like, they've been abused into. Yeah, yeah. And Trump and the Trump administration are acting like that was violence, just pointing out that their grandchildren will know how racist they are, as opposed to just telling them the truth about the consequences of their action. Yeah,
I love the idea that calling something racist is
violence,
is the problem and not the actual racist act. And the idea that like, oh, we didn't know it would be racist to suppress a vote. What? No. And also, I could not hold out this long. Like, I don't want to give, you know, Trump the impression that anything he does is impressive. But it's wild to me that he lost this bad and are still like, no. Several more lawsuits. I think I follow a lawyer in Michigan. I think there were like one in 25. Like there's one court case was like,
oh my God.
Yes. And 25 losses. And it's just, I don't have the stamina, the energy, especially when we know for a fact that they have no money left. It's a little impressive to just be like, I will drag this whole society down with me. Hell hath no fury like me angry. It's impressive. Yeah.
It's fucking unreal. I mean, yeah, and the way that he's talking about Michigan too, it's like it's just so. We've been saying this for years, but like it's just so fucking flagrant. Like he couldn't be more clear that he's like, I am trying to suppress black votes. That's what I'm trying to do, and I'm doing it in all caps. It's just, and then I self-harmed this morning and went through some replies under one of the Michigan tweets, and like it's just like Twitter shell, like eggs doing bad math, and they're like there was this whole thread I followed that was like well, more people, because he was saying more people voted in Detroit than live in Detroit, which is a single Google away from knowing that's not true.
Right.
And then when people replied with, that's not true, here is like the first thing that comes up when you search how many registered voters versus how many voted. They're like, well, the rest of those people are children. And so it was like, I don't know. It was these weird Twitter eggs suggesting that the population of Detroit is like 65% children. Mm-hmm. It was just really bizarre. I don't like, it's just, there's no logic to it. It makes my head hurt, and it's just cruel and awful, and I'm tired.
I mean, so the good news is that there is, you know, we are coming up on the time when these votes are basically due to be certified, and at that point, like, Michigan was 11/23, so they're doing it a little bit early. Pennsylvania is 11/23. Wisconsin is the 1st of December. So like after these dates, that's like when it's due. Georgia is the 20th, so that's in 2 days. Arizona is the 30th. Once those have been certified, they really don't have like. I think a lot of people think it's purely theoretical at this point, the idea that these are going to be reversed. But as we saw with those canvassers, like it's not purely theoretical. Mm-hmm. So. You know, these are all looming deadlines that once we get past those, if we get past those, the country will, I guess, be in better shape. But again, it won't change the fact that they are doing the absolute most to exhaust us, to just tear down the fabric of the good parts of the country. It really is I'm finding it more and more exhausting dealing with the whole, they accuse us of doing the thing that they're doing, like the Kayleigh McEnany saying that telling people to wear masks around Thanksgiving holiday is Orwellian. And then them saying that it's like violent and racist to call someone racist for being racist. It's just, it's so frustrating and exhausting. Maybe that's why I'm tired.
It makes me wonder, like, how do you have these? There are, to the very best of my knowledge, no Trump supporters in my family. So I haven't had to have, like, any of these challenging conversations of, like, what are you doing? And look at what you're admitting. But I don't even know how, like, I used to be, like, back in Prop 8 world, I was like, yo, make sure you talk to your family members about this. Like, if you're queer, you know, you can explain it. Just talk to them about why these. But now I'm like, I don't even want to throw somebody in that fire, because having seen some of these people try to, like, debate online with their neighbors or family or whatever, like, I don't know how to have that conversation if you're absolutely disinterested in listening to anything factual. Like, a cloth over your face is not like Orwellian. What? It's,
yeah, it's like the why are you hitting yourself defense, but they're not even like using our hand to hit ourselves. They're just hitting us and then saying stop hitting me. It's a real mind fuck.
It sounds exhausting. It sounds exhausting to have to rewire your brain in that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had a thought, but it's gone now.
I actually felt envy for the people in the book 1984, because I was like, wait, so Orwellian, let me just like look at what she could possibly mean.
Cool outfits in that book. Yeah, I never read it,
but it's much easier to combat in that book because they aren't doing the thing like Big Brother is not being like, you're Big Brothering me. Like, it's just like easier to deal
stop
with.
Stop being a big camera at me.
Yeah. All you have to do is just be like, no, look, this is the thing they're doing. But
Jeff,
then,
that's the saddest description of our current timeline that I've heard. I'm just like, God, what if we were Orwellian? I thought this would be a lot easier to deal with.
It would be. I mean, partially because that book was written. Yeah, it's just more straightforward.
It's unfair because it's like most. It's such a daunting task that requires a level of empathy that I personally would not really demand of anybody. But the like de-radicalizing someone's mind after living in that mindset and just like doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on just like complete bullshit for this. I really hope that there is like some sort of de-radicalization movement that takes off, that it's like, well, you know, leave me out of it. You can go over it. But I'm curious. It's like, what is the long game? Like, once Trump is out of office, what is the long game for like what happens when no one is stoking that every single day and validating it? And what, yeah, where does it go?
Out of office. I think it's when Trump is no longer on the planet. Like, to be honest, like, I just think that he is going to be a powerful, like, basically anti-universe president, like, president in exile.
Anti-universe?
Anti, like, bizarro world president, where he's like still
universe. That's a really dystopian phrase.
Like an antimatter version of the president, where like everything the president does, he will have a take that is the opposite of that and undermining it in some way. Like I think he is going to continue to be a problem for anybody in this country for as long as he still has a public platform. In terms of things he's doing in his official capacity, he just terminated the head of Terminated. He no longer is firing people. He's terminating them because he's strong and powerful. The head of cybersecurity for not going along with his coup and for saying that the election actually happened the way it actually did. And people are worried for Iran. And, you know, we mentioned yesterday that people are worried Trump was going to attack Iran and was firing people and promoting people based on like just how loyal to him they were. But then the sort of people were saying, oh no, the military leaders in America aren't going to let him do that. But now people are pointing out that Saudi Arabia and Israel's leaders are like just as likely to attack and then, you know, draw America into that conflict because they see okay. this as like their last best opportunity to start a conflict with Iran while Trump is still, you know, capable of marshaling his very anti-Iran.
Right. Is there any, I mean, what do we know what the likelihood of that moving forward is?
There's indicators that like they are preparing for, mm-hmm. like I think Israeli forces attacked Iranian forces in Syria, but it's, yeah, we don't really know, but mm-hmm. it's definitely something that international security experts are watching and concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awful.
Completely fucked. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Does Dunkin' Donuts have like slippers?
Yeah. No, I wish they did. They should don't. Have
had slippers, right?
The tandem bicycle is the most baffling and cursed item. And
I'd never seen a tandem bicycle that looked like that.
I was shocked at the price, but then I asked you both, and you said it seems kind of like a normal price for a tandem bicycle. Although once I said that phrase out loud, I'm like, why would I know what that number is?
Right.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I also don't think I trust anyone enough to mount a bicycle like that. I would just get pregnant on the bicycle. That's what I would get it for.
You asked us because Joelle and I used to, before in pre-COVID times, used to ride around on
Isn't
a tandem bike.
Isn't that how
bike.
You met? Yeah, that's
our tandem bike team.
Yeah, yeah.
Posted to a Facebook group, looking for a tandem bike partner.
That's really sad.
Nothing weird. Message me.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. Should we talk about Ben Shapiro? I guess we should mention the Ben Shapiro controversy in quotes.
I like that he's being like launched out of a cannon out of Glendale. That's a very like or out.
Ooh, I don't know that. What's happening?
He had an office. I don't know if it was the office, but an office for whatever his dweeby little fuck company is. In Atwater Village, near where we all live. And he kind of, it sounds like he didn't feel welcomed. And he's like Joe Rogan moving to Texas, probably to avoid paying more taxes. But it also sounded like he really couldn't walk down the streets near his his office without getting fucking like roasted at every turn. So, shout out to Atwater Village for launching Ben Shapiro out of a cannon, and sorry to Texas, because I think that you're being burdened with Ben Shapiro. But I'm pretty sure that there is like kind of a move for like devious capitalists like Ben Shapiro, and to an extent, people always fucking drag me every time I say this, Joe Rogan, who moved to Texas because the it's either income or property taxes that are significantly less. There's no income tax, so that's why Joe Rogan went there, even though he's like, no, you guys, I just really love it here. I love it here. All right, sir.
I'm reading. I keep referring to this book I'm reading about the Bush family, but like Texas, straight up, Texas is a bad place. What one of the little details that I just learned is that the guy who owned the Texas Book Depository that Oswald shot Kennedy from actually had the window front that he shot him from removed and moved to his home as like a thing to celebrate. Like,
what?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That is horrific. And even if you were a Kennedy supporter, like, it's what I was telling my brother, it's one of the most awful, like, things to view on tape. Like, just the chaos and the horribleness of the act. And then, That's disturbing.
Fucked. That's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yay, and, Texas.
And all of these people are in some way tied back to George Bush. George H.W. Bush. So
Lacey Mosley, the only good person to ever come out of Texas? Sound off in the comments.
Anyways, Ben Shapiro got mad that Harry Styles was wearing a dress on the cover of Vogue claimed that masculinity was under attack.
Ben Shapiro knows how boring he is? Is he aware that, like,
It's either he's not aware at all or he's so aware and he can't stop thinking about it.
It is a piece of clothing. And if your masculinity is threatened by a dress, it is truly fragile. Like the idea that seeing another dude in a quote unquote female garment is now all men can't be. What does that even mean? Like it is. You could have a whole array of genders and just pick and be really comfortable in your own subset and let everyone else just live their lives, Ben Shapiro. And yet here you are upset at a fashion cover, which I don't even know if Harry Styles likes wearing dresses or if his PR person was like, listen, people are going to love this. And he was like, cool, whatever. It's hardly a statement at all from Harry. And so for you to get riled up over it, you just look damn foolish, sir. Prince did it in the 80s. Rock bands were doing it in the 70s. This is old.
It's so, I'm pretty sure Harry Styles has a history of dressing kind of, what am I trying to say?
Androgynously?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, he has done this for a while. And I'm like, first of all, why are we still, like, I feel like he's been doing this for years. Leave him alone. And on top, I mean, it's just like Ben Shapiro is just so fucking pathetic where he's like just coming off like, you know, just coming off complaining about the wetness of various pussies for like three consecutive months.
The medical condition of
that is still maybe of the few.
I would call the cops if it was wet. I would call the cops. I mean, that's dangerous.
Like, that clip is iconic in all the wrong ways. Yes. But like the fact that he went to the mat on the wetness of pussies and demonstrating that he has no idea how they work in the process. Just chef's kiss, really incredible stuff. I couldn't even bring myself to watch whatever the fuck he said about Harry
neither.
Styles. So the boring. Good news is that Harry Styles for sure doesn't give a shit.
Oh, no. He got money in the bank.
All of Harry Styles' fans, like he has a very like young fan base and they don't give a shit what Ben Shapiro says. So it's like, what are you even, you're just saying things.
I kind of wish they did. Hateful. I kind of wish they like did to Ben Shapiro what like K-pop fans have been doing to like right-wing and authoritarian like trolls. But I think they just like don't give enough of a shit, which is within their right to not give enough of a shit. But like, I don't know. He has a podcast
It's just like, it's so, Harry Styles is dressing ambiguously. Men have been doing this for centuries. It's so like even the kind of masculinity that Ben Shapiro is referencing is like historically pretty new and like just so rigid and fucking boring and shut up. I don't know.
It's from 80s movies.
But he also doesn't like fall into that category of masculinity. Like if we're going to look at the falsified, like pumped up version of masculinity, I don't see Ben Shapiro anywhere in the category.
Right.
Right.
Like, he's not in the circle.
You're not there, buddy. Fuck Ben Shapiro. I don't know. I hate him.
Let's talk about ambient TV. There's a there's a piece that I really enjoyed in The New Yorker. They've written you up before, Jamie. You might have heard of them, The New Yorker. they were writing about Emily in Paris and kind of how their description of Emily in Paris was very dystopian. But they overall were saying that it reminds them of like the rise of ambient music, like the Brian Eno thing where he made music that he considered as ignorable as it is interesting. And like that these TV shows are basically designed to be background music, like nothing. The plot is incredibly thin on purpose, like so that you can miss half of it and still just kind of have a sense of what's going on. I've always used sports this way, like as a thing that you can just have on in the background and not really pay any attention to. And evidence of that is like, I can have sports on and my kids don't give a shit about it because it like won't suck them into a TV coma. Literally everything else is because it's bad television. But they're making the point that this whole movement, like they were talking about other Netflix reality shows that like the Taco Chronicles Dream Home Makeover, they really go in on. I haven't seen that, but it's apparently very bland.
Joel, did you watch any of Emily in Paris? I binge watched
Emily in Paris. Let me talk about it. Okay. I love, we call it ambient television. My crew calls it depression TV, which is like, I can't afford to get emotionally invested in anything right now. Like the world is already too much, right? But I need something on the TV because then otherwise I'm just alone with my thoughts and I don't want that either. That's not a good recipe for me to get through this evening. So Emily in Paris, no, definitely not a great show. I don't know what's happening with any of the fashion in there. It's a hot mess.
It looks like 2006. You're like, what year is this?
Who did this and why? I don't know. I don't care about any of the characters. I was surprised anyone could like develop a heated emotional reaction to it. There was a lot of discourse and they're like, Emily's so rude for going to Paris and shoving her American ways in their face. I'm like, that's literally the plot of the show. So if you don't like that, you should have tuned out after episode 3. But It was perfect for me because I was just like, okay, it's just there. And I can be on my phone scrolling Twitter, which is what I really want to be doing anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's not silent and it's great. I really feel like we perfected this TV in the 90s. Friends, peak. Friends is peak depression TV. It's peak ambient television. Nobody changes. Nobody grows. Nothing changes about the status of anyone's relationship, whether they're together or not. It doesn't matter. It's just a bland, blank slate. And I think that there's really, truly value in this kind of television. What bothers me is when we try to either escalate it or de-escalate. When we try to escalate it into something more than it is, which is really what I think what happened with Emily in Paris. I think people were bored and were like, I can rag on this show. Wonderful. But it's a vital aspect to my life. I really enjoy, I think Great British Bake Off maybe has a little more emotional stakes in it for some people. But mostly it's just nice people baking. Awesome. They're really sorry when they have to let someone go. Excellent. Anything that's not going to bring me up too high or down too low, that's exactly what we're looking for.
It's literally, yeah, I feel like depression TV, it was nice of them to call it ambient TV.
Truly.
But it is like, it feels like, I mean, even like Great Depression media where you're like, this is about nothing. And
Big
everyone
Rock
is just,
Candy
and,
Mountain.
Right. It's pleasant. You don't feel like you're going to turn around and something horrible is going to be happening. Like if you were watching, for example, the news, like I really hope that I had like a very abrupt fantasy when I saw this piece about ambient TV, and it's that the creator of Emily in Paris releases a like scathing response being like, how dare you say Emily in Paris was about nothing? In many ways, it was about everything. And like, he just had no idea it was a really bad TV show. This is how they found out that it was only number two because everyone was so sad.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is how I feel about, like, Netflix has really perfected the algorithm, right? Of making a show that you don't necessarily have to be invested in. But it's like, I love the way they've like drawn like their new show Jingle Jangle. It's like if you were sort of into High School Musical, but you want some black representation in your Christmas shows, and you know, you like a little bit of comedy, but you're not going to laugh too hard because that's not what we're doing here. It's perfect. It's so straight down the middle. You can watch it with your conservative family and no one's going to fight. Listen, It's genius. It's necessary. And then, you know, every once in a while you get a Queen's Gambit and you're like, cool, great. Something I can actually sink my teeth into when I'm in the mood for it. But we need like 700 hours of ambient television to get through whatever the next like 8 months is going to be before we can reemerge into society.
I enjoyed, Julian the Phantoms was fun. That was like, I feel like a cute, underrated show that was like very High School Musical-y, but like it's just cute. Cute shit. I like cute shit that isn't going to remind me of my mortality.
Exactly.
That's what's on the menu.
Yeah, the point that they like their description of ambient TV is kind of that it basically crowds out the noise in your mind and just like makes everything feel like go down smooth, basically. It like smooths out, like whereas when we first had like streaming TV and you could like choose a show to watch and it would be like a show that like was engrossing and that was what we valued. Now it's more just like, here is a time portal to an hour from now in the future. You just put on your like, open up Netflix and put this show on and you'll be in the future, which is kind of a dark way to think about human existence at this point.
Yes. I also found comfort in like all these, I feel like I talk about them all the time now, but like these YouTube channels that are like by funny people who are based, they're talking about nothing. They're talking about like Pokemon card scandals for 45 minutes. And you're just like, oh, this is just engrossing enough. Right. I don't really need to listen, but like good for them for caring. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's nice. It feels not horrible. That's what I mean when I say nice.
Yeah, they highlight TikTok as the ultimate in ambient TV because it just is a stream of kind of passive, you know, unremarkable videos that just go down easy.
It absolutely depends on what videos you're enjoying on TikTok.
Right.
I was like, that could go a lot of ways.
If your stream is just those, like, five dance move dance things, then sure, ambient and endless. Right. But they're... Some people are being creative and some people are being very weird and some people are being, you know, weirdly political. I wouldn't say go to TikTok looking for your ambient television fix. But I do think that it's not a streaming issue either. I wouldn't blame this on like, oh, this is what streaming has come down to now. I think it's absolutely just a sign of the times and the fact that people cannot engage. Like, I started watching Halt and Catch Fire, which is stunning. It's such good television. I got through season one and then I'm like, oh man, they are really dealing with some real life issues here. I'm going to have to put this on the back burner and turn around to it later. Like, they're like, oh, financial crisis coming up. I was like, no, back out of it. Right. So I think if we were watching on network, and to be fair, let's look at what networks are coming out with right now in the middle of the pandemic. We've got two versions of The Masked Singer, one that's just lip syncers, where they're trying to see if you're the actual person singing or not. Like, this is the content we need to get through. And I really think TV is doing a good job for us, even if it's not intellectually stimulating. There's too much to do. We don't need to be any further intellectually stimulated at this point.
Did we ever talk about Mickey Rourke on The Masked Singer on Vice?
We have a big Masked Singer blind spot on this show.
I am here to say I'm behind on Masked Singer. I'm not going to say I stopped watching this season, but I had to stop watching after I got to the Mickey Rourke episode because it was so good that I'm like, nothing is going to top this for me for months. So what happened was this. It's still so funny. Okay, so it's like the first round of Masked Singer, which takes like 4 weeks. But they bring out a celebrity who's dressed like a big purple gremlin. And he sings, oh, what did he sing? Whatever he sang, he didn't really know the words. And it wasn't good. And the whole panel couldn't guess who it was. Nick Cannon gets up on stage to have people guess. And then whoever's inside the gremlin is like, no more. I'm like, he quits The Masked Singer after his first performance. He knows he's going to lose. He rips off the gremlin's head. It seems like it wasn't. I mean, it might have been pre-planned, but Nick Cannon, if so, best acting performance of Nick Cannon's life. Because he was like, wait, you can't quit. He unmasked himself. It was Mickey Rourke. Everyone lost their shit. And he was like, yeah, they asked me to be on and I watched two or three episodes and I said, why not? But this costume is really heavy and I want to go home. And he just left.
All of us. Yes. I did not know how it went down. I just saw the reveal on Twitter the same night, right? So I just see Mickey Rourke's tiny head. His head's not really tiny, but in a giant suit, it looks small. And he's covered in like purple fuzz and he's like a little sweaty. And I'm like, how did they get Mickey Rourke to come on this show? And that to me was the funny part, but knowing that he was just like, oh no, I have to bow out today, is so much sweeter. It's everything I think everybody wishes they could do. It's just like, you know what, no, I'm taking this human costume off, I have to go home now.
I had no idea it was his first performance. That's so amazing.
It was his first performance and he unmasked himself. It was I mean, there was a lot of shit going on. It was peak election stuff going on. So I feel like it really slipped under the radar. But it there's clips of it online. It was like truly the best television I've seen in a really long time.
Listen, at the iHeart studio, we have Snooki's text, her infamous text from the season on the wall on a giant flag. And now I really feel like we need to have Mickey Rourke with his head off, you know, just hang up right there. It's iconic level television. So that is amazing.
It is that great of television. He's because when you just hear the voice escape, like right before he rips the gremlin head off, he goes, no more. And you're
just like, Mickey Rourke is all of us.
It's the greatest clip you'll ever watch. It's like pure serotonin.
Apparently Netflix is going to try to be like a network. They're going to do like a streaming, like a linear version of Netflix. So that's interesting to me.
Like
you just turn on Netflix and there's something on that everybody is watching.
This is something I've somewhat been asking for, and I think it absolutely feeds into the ambient depression TV conversation of like, I don't want to have to make a choice. that came here to put mm-hmm. something on the TV and walk away. And if you're like me, you have like five shows in rotation that you're like for me, it's like King of the Hill. Like, I guess I could watch more of that anytime. Like, I will absolutely do some more Bob's Burgers. Girlfriends is on somewhere. The Game. Yes. Crazy drama. So I feel like, but I still think, I don't understand why no streaming service is listening to the internet, because the internet has been begging for playlist style streams forever.
We're like, decision.
What if I just put all five of my shows in there and you just shook it up and we're like, here's episode 5 from season 6 and I just watched that. Like, that is honestly the dream. I don't trust Netflix. Netflix is going to do what any smart business person would do, which is like, here's our new show. We hope you get hooked to it.
Right.
I don't want to watch your new show. I don't watch something I watch 8,000 times, so I don't have the anxiety of having to figure out what's going to happen next.
Exactly.
I just want to know.
Yeah, they will totally fuck it up, though.
They will. Like, you're just like, I did not want to watch The Holiday, and you know that.
You knew that.
Netflix. And now I'm 45 minutes into it because I couldn't find the remote, and I'm hooked. God damn it.
Just a PSA to everyone. You don't need to watch The Holiday. I took that L for us all. It's not worth it.
I'm thinking about watching Jingle Jingle and just doing like a live tweet of it, because the fact that it's not named after the drug that's on the Archie series Riverdale on the CW, but it does share the same name. Jingle
really?
Jingle. And yeah, in Riverdale, Jingle Jingle is like their hard drug. It's like the heroin of Riverdale.
That's the worst Jingle name for a hard drug.
It's terrible, but it's funny. Listen, that they box amazing. A bear in prison, Jack. Someone brought a bear into a prison, put it in a boxing ring, and then had one of the stars fight it. Like, the show is unhinged, but in the best possible way. I'm curious, like, if there is any correlation between the drug Jingle Jangle on Riverdale and Jingle Jangle, the comedic hip-hop musical Christmas special on Netflix. I feel mm-hmm. like there's got to be some good meaty discourse in there somewhere.
I was That's in cool. on Jingle Jangle the second I learned Forrest Whitaker's character was named Geronicus Jangle. I was
Geronicus?
Like, okay, I'm gonna watch that.
Holy shit.
The trailer Geronicus alone is enough. The trailer is like, I have to. Keegan-Michael Key plays the villain. And like, mm-hmm. what in what
this
world?
Sounds incredible. Is it a series or a single?
It's a movie.
It's a movie. Okay, I'm in. I'm already watching it right now. Joel, it's been a pleasure, as always, having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you?
Yeah, you can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. It's JoelleMoniqueUE.
All right. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Bayman, which is BEYMAN. It's either two I's or two exclamation points. Who knows? Listen, she tweeted four photos of Megan Thee Stallion from when she was in college. Megan dressed every day like she was a lawyer, full suit, set of nails, gold watch, hair, together. She's in college. I was like, whoa. If Megan Thee Stallion isn't the absolute inspiration for just get your stuff together in the hard times, woman lost her mother and her grandmother in the same year that she goes double platinum. I am obsessed with her and her career and her moves and the way that she just constantly surprises everybody. And seeing her in her early forms, seeing how together it was, I was like, this is where we need to be.
Hell yeah. I just pulled up the pics. I'm like, yeah, she, holy shit.
That was just her going to class. I was in sweats. She was so together. Cool. She's the best.
Fuck.
Jamie, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help, Instagram Jamie Christ Superstar. I have a new podcast coming out starting on Monday called Lolita Podcast.
Yes.
Whoo! It's depressing. It's about the kind of like the journey of all the adaptations of Lolita that have been done over the years. So you can subscribe to that. And today, or tonight when this is airing, if you're interested in learning more about homelessness during the pandemic, I'm going to be hosting, along with the SELA Neighborhood Homeless Coalition, there's going to be a webinar tonight where I'm going to be talking with Theo Henderson, who is an unhoused advocate, as well as Genevieve Lang and Matt Tinoco. And even if you don't live in LA, it's an awesome panel and group of people, and you can learn more about exactly how poorly the unhoused have been treated throughout this pandemic and what you can do to take action to first help in a direct action way, and also the most effective ways to bully your representatives into actually fucking doing something about it. So that's also, I'll keep posting that to Twitter.
Awesome.
A tweet I like is from my friend George Severus at George Severus. I wonder if this will make sense when I read it out loud. Okay. Pfizer, it's just me against the music. Moderna and me. Does that make sense?
If you love Britney, it does. And I do. So thank you.
It's niche. It's good.
A tweet I've been enjoying. Streetcar tweeted, my calculator app just released a new feature. And it's like a circle of his avatar at the top of like the calculator on the calculator app on his phone, like the Twitter. I don't know. But speaking of things that don't work as a description, but basically that all apps are doing the stories thing. And Mike Leffingwell tweeted, whoa, this whole season of The Crown is just Queen Elizabeth II being pissed about her portrayal in Naked Gun. My second The Crown related tweet that I've called to people's attention, and I don't watch that show. But those,
I was going to say, Jack, are you watching season 4?
I'm not, but I like the idea of that, and then somebody asked, who plays Jeffrey Epstein in The Crown? You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Today, we are going to ride out on Jamie's recommendation, which is Mickey Rourke's performance on The Masked Singer. It slaps. It's really good. And we will listen to 15 seconds of that as we ride out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
The moon is little red like we see. If the sky we look upon to tumble and fall, the mountains would crumble in the sea. Woo! I won't cry.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.